where we're at in John chapter 3 tonight. John chapter number 3. I want to start reading in verse 22. And I'm well aware that in the 10th month of the year 22, Brother Don McCann preached out of this text tonight. But I know God put it in my heart to preach out of this text as I asked him last night and prayed over it. Verse 22, after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. And John also was baptized in Anon near to Salim, because there was much water there. Well, that does away with a cup of water, don't it? You read your scripture, amen. Amen. Buried with him in baptism. Amen. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch. I ain't never seen two midgets get in a glass, amen. Let alone two men. The Bible said here there was much water there. For John was not yet cast into prison, verse 24, verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. They came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. Jesus answered and said, let me just say this tonight while I'm reading. Don't it look like that maybe they're trying to stir something up? I mean, honestly, that guy you was with over there on the, man, he's baptizing now, and all men just following right after him, amen. But I'm going to tell you something about old John. He always got stirred up the right way. It's one thing to get stirred up the right way, and another thing to get stirred up the wrong way, amen. I don't know that for sure, but it seems like it. It might have been trying to stick a little pin in him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except to be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I'd ask you this tonight. When you hear about another ministry that's flourishing, I'm talking about a Bible preaching, a Bible believing ministry. Because I'm going to tell you, if it's not that, it might look like it's flourishing, but it ain't doing nothing, amen, if it ain't on the rock, if it ain't of the God. But how do you feel when you hear about another man's ministry flourishing? John said, he must increase, but I must decrease. That's my text tonight. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. But he that cometh from a heaven is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal, God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. If God will help me tonight, I want to share a little thought out of verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. Reminds me of something an old preacher said years ago. I don't remember which preacher said it, but I wish I would have been more like Brother Jason. Brother Jason carries him a little notebook, and when somebody says something good, he just writes it down. But some of the things that I've heard through the years, I didn't write them down, but they stuck in my heart. And this is what a man said. He said, God will make much of a church that makes much of Jesus. You know, in this text tonight, what John is doing, He's making little of John and making much of Jesus. I don't know about you tonight, but if I sit down and listen to a man that's supposed to be preaching and he's always building himself up, it makes me sick. And I believe it makes God sick. We're not here tonight to build up ourselves. We're here tonight to lift up our Savior and worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pray with me. Father, thank you tonight for this text. Thank you for John. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the record, our Lord, that we have, that we can glean from tonight. Lord, I pray that we would learn the lesson that John is teaching us tonight, that he must increase, but I must decrease. Lord, the Apostle Paul knew the lesson. That's why he could say, I'm less than the least of all the saints. Lord, I pray tonight that you'd, Lord, help us understand the importance of the Lord increasing and us decreasing. Lord, I pray you keep your hand on our church. Keep your hand, Lord, on our men and our ladies, our families. Keep your hand on the choir. Keep your hand on our youth, our Lord. Keep your hand on the Sunday school classes. God, just help us tonight to understand, Lord, that without you we can do nothing, but with you, Lord, there's nothing we can't do. Bring you glory. Bring you honor. In Jesus' name. All of God's youngins said, amen. Amen. I want three simple things tonight that the Lord's put on my heart concerning he must increase and I must decrease. What's at stake? And why would a man like John, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb, why would he say such a thing? He must increase, but I must decrease. I don't know what these had in mind that was coming and telling them what Jesus was doing on the other side of Jordan, but I know this. John was just glad. He was just glad to be a little part of a great old big plan that God had in this world. Jesus had come into the world and was going to be the Savior. Why must he increase and must we decrease? Number one tonight, because people need faith. The Bible said faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Over in John, the end of the book, many other things did Jesus. He said, the which I suppose if they were all written, the whole world couldn't contain the books that would be written. But he said, these are written that you might believe. I believe John is one of the greatest books that a new believer can get in. I believe it's one of the greatest books that you can study. Romans is a wonderful book to study for the new believer. But the whole book of John, the purpose of it, was that you might believe. You say, Pastor, what do you see in the chapter? A couple of things here where people need faith. Number one, religious people need faith. I believe it would shock us on any given Sunday how many people are sitting on church pews in America. I'm not talking about beloved false prophet churches. I'm talking about churches where the gospel's being preached. I'm talking about churches where Jesus is being lifted up. And Nicodemus, beloved, he had a boatload of religion. He was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. But his religion wasn't going to help him when it come to a relationship with God. He was going to have to be born again. And I believe we need to understand, beloved, listen, Brother Keith said something when he was here that really stuck with me. And some of you all, I still don't know your testimony. If you have liberty sometime, tell me. Amen. I'd like for you to tell me. I know you're here, and I know you're faithful. But I love hearing the stories. How God saved a young man, or how God saved an old man. Amen. It don't matter how God saved you. Amen. And I'll tell you tonight, it's important. You know what I believe tonight? I believe because John understood that he must increase and I must decrease, and that people needed faith. They needed the Lord. And that even religious people need the Lord. I believe with all of my heart I'm going to meet Nicodemus in heaven. You tell me why in the world he would be interested, amen, in helping with the burying of the Lord Jesus if God hadn't done something in his heart. Say amen. You know what I believe? I believe this conversation that he had with Jesus made a difference in his life. The Word of God said there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved. Jesus, when he walked the face of this earth, people, even lost people, knew he was different. They knew there was something about that man. I love that song. It said, there's something about that name, don't you? Hallelujah. Before I was ever saved, I knew there was something about that name, the lovely name of Jesus. And the Bible said, Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. There's a religious man that needs to be saved. You know something? You know what I believe? I believe if people come in here on Sunday morning and they get to rubbing elbows with a bunch of people that's building up themselves, they're probably going to gag just like God does. But if they get to rubbing elbows with a bunch of people that's lifting him up, amen, exalting him, they're going to understand that we got something they need, amen. That's the way it ought to be. Say amen. Nicodemus, beloved, he came by night. There's a lot of speculation about that. I don't know for sure. I know this. Jesus was a busy man in the daytime. And I believe Nicodemus wanted some one-on-one time with the Lord. Amen. I believe he was a very smart man. Don't you? You didn't get to be a Pharisee and being a dummy. Amen. I believe he was a very intelligent, a very intellectual man. And he was trying to figure this thing out. And I believe Jesus met him right where he was, amen, with the truth of the Word of God. Here we see that religious people need the Lord. I'll show you something real quickly. I hope this will bless you. It kind of goes with the message. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Verily, verily, Jesus said, answer, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. All kinds of arguments right there. Oh, that water's the Spirit. That water's the Word of God. I believe if you read it in its context, you can't see anything except this. There needs to be two births, a natural birth and a spiritual birth. That's what I believe. Amen. He said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus, you've had the first birth. You're here. But you got to have another one if you're going to go yonder, if you're going to go to heaven with me. Now watch this. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Watch this now. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Thou hearest the sound thereof, and canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. I want you to see this tonight. I was hunkered down. I think I was in Arkansas, Miss Eve. They were having a prison meeting. And I was out walking and exercising a little bit that morning. And I'm telling you, the wind was a howling. And you know, when you get a phone, trying to have a phone conversation, and the wind's howling, it's just blowing over that microphone. So I found me a big old tree. It's hard to believe, but I found a tree bigger than I am, Brother Mike. Amen. And I got down behind, I was kidding them the other day. You remember when I got Sawyer and Olivia up there and I had them hide behind the pulpit? I told Sawyer, I said, go tell Daddy the reason I didn't have him hide behind the pulpit, because he couldn't. That's what he done. He went and told Bob. Papa said, that pulpit wouldn't hide you, Daddy. Amen. Amen. I got down behind that tree and I was talking to my wife. And you know, the Bible said there, the wind bloweth where it listeth. Now here's the sound thereof. You can't tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth. I saw this. It was like a little mini dust tornado. Has anybody ever seen one? I mean, the wind picked that little dust thing up and it made a big old dust thing out of it. And I'm hunkered down behind that tree and I don't know. I'm just me. But I'm going to tell you something right now. I got me a blessing talking to my wife and watching that dust thing go. See, I couldn't tell whence it cometh and whether it goeth until you factored in a little dust. Yeah. You'll get that after a while. I'll catch you down there at the red light. Amen. Hey, that's all we are. Amen. It's a little dust. And you know what? If we'll mind the Lord and mind the Spirit of God, people can see the evidence, amen, of that wind, the blessed Holy Spirit in our life. And I believe that God wants us to understand tonight that He must increase and I must decrease because people, they need faith. The first thing I saw in the chapter was religious people need faith. But let me give you another thing. Look over in verse number 18. Well, I'll read verse 17 too. For God sent not His Son. Well, y'all know verse 16, right? Everybody knows that, right? If you don't know verse 16, memorize that. That's the place to start. That's where, Brother Rick, every Bible school starts with that verse. I mean, you say, well, you're giving it to most of them. It don't matter. I want all of them to know that verse. Amen? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Now watch this. I talked about religious people. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Now I'm not talking about religious people. I'm talking about wicked people. And men love darkness rather than light. Amen? Because their deeds were evil. That's what the Word of God said. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let me say this. Everybody needs faith. The religious people need the Lord. They need that faith in God. But wicked people need that faith in God too. Say amen. That's one reason we need to make sure He increases and we decrease. A couple things right here about people needing faith. We need a faith, number one, that's birthed of the Spirit. Beloved, there is no faith that is not birthed of the Spirit that will take you to heaven. Amen. The Spirit of God must do a work in a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl's life. We need a faith not only that's birthed of the Spirit. You see, there's a lot of people. They use this word. Now listen to me carefully. I'm not picking tonight, but salvation's more than a decision. Did y'all hear what I said? I didn't even decide what to wear tonight. I just decided to put it on. Miss Eve got it out. Amen. But salvation is more than a decision. There's a decision involved. Don't get me wrong. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come into him and sup with him and he with me. Beloved, there's a decision whether you go answer the door or not, but first there's a knock. Y'all get that? And I believe with all of my heart, beloved, that the faith that is scriptural is birthed of the Spirit of God. Secondly, in this passage, that's what the Bible talking about, being born of the Spirit. It's based on the sacrifice. The Bible said here, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. You say, Pastor, what do you mean based on the sacrifice? There's people that think they're going to heaven because they said this or because they did this. But beloved, it's still the blood that saves from sin. You say, where did you get that in that text? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, those people that were bitten by sin, bitten by the serpents, they had to look and live. You say, how does that fit with Jesus? Jesus said, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This spake he, signifying of what death he would die. Beloved, there's a sacrifice involved. Amen. The Spirit of God, it's not just some kind of formality, but there's a sacrifice. He must increase. I must decrease because people need faith. Faith that's birthed of the Spirit. Faith that's based on the sacrifice. And then faith that believes on the Son. You know, sometimes I think we make it more difficult than it really is. If God's in it, it's not difficult. The difficult thing about the whole thing is repentance. And there's some teaching you don't even need to repent. I'm just going to go with what Jesus said. He said, except you repent, you'll all likewise perish. There's got to come a turning point in a man's life. The man that was saved Sunday told me in my office, he said, I need a change. I want to be a different man. I remember a time in my life, don't you? When I got tired of who I was. I was ashamed of who I was. And I wanted to be a different man. You say, Pastor, what do you mean believes on the Son? I remember the text. I believe it was where Paul and Silas in Acts. Is it chapter 16, Brother Jason? I'm not sure. It's over in the book of Acts. Paul and Silas were in jail. They've been beaten. I believe they're bleeding. I don't believe they just give you a switch in those days, say amen. I believe they beat them. And they're in jail. And they're praying. And they're singing. And they're praising God at midnight. And God shook that jailhouse. And those doors flew open. And you want to witness a miracle, you open a jailhouse and nobody leaves. How many's ever heard this saying? I believe God arrested their attention. How many's ever? I believe them old boys was arrested. We ain't never seen nothing like this. Ain't never seen nobody get beat to a pulp and then come in here singing and come in here. You say, well, Pastor, what in the world were they doing? I tell you what they were doing. They were decreasing and he was increasing the whole time that night in that jail. The doors fly open. The jailer, he's ready to kill himself. You know the story. He's ready to fall on his sword because he knows he's going to be responsible anyway. He's responsible for the prisoners. Sir, do thyself no harm. We're all here. I wonder what that lantern sounded like. He sprang in. I believe that thing was a singing Amazing Grace, don't you? Amen. That lantern, he come in there with that lantern. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Boy, I tell you what. Paul didn't say, let me find the Romans road. He said, just let me tell you about Jesus. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. This whole thing boils down to two things. Number one, what did you do with Jesus? If you receive him, you're heaven bound. And the second thing tonight is, what did you do for Jesus? If you accepted him as your Savior, it boils down to two things. What'd you do with him? And what'd you do for him? You see, I believe tonight, he must increase. I must decrease because people need faith. Secondly tonight, he must increase and I must decrease because not only do people need faith, but because of my position as a friend. There's a song, and the title of it, a little bit of the tune popped up in my head the other day. I don't know who sang it, but it said, I'll be a friend to Jesus. On him my life depends. Abraham, everybody knows Abraham wasn't perfect, right? But I tell you what he was a friend of God. John wasn't perfect, but I tell you what he was a friend of God. My position as a friend, number one, a friend, and I'm speaking now of John, and it should be of you and I, a friend knows his place. Look at the Bible with me in John chapter number 1, please. A friend knows his place. In John chapter 1 and verse number 26, John answered them saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me. I love this. Whose shoe latchet I'm not worthy to unloose. I'm going to tell you something tonight, beloved. John was a friend. He said over there in that text where we read tonight, it said, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. That would be, the bridegroom is Jesus. The bride is the church. He said, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly. And he said, because of the bridegroom's voice, this my joy therefore is fulfilled. A friend knows his place. The next day John seeth Jesus, verse 29 in chapter 1, coming unto him, and he saith, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. I didn't mean to do this tonight, but I got to. I just need to mind the Lord. But I was in a prison. I've told this here before, but I'm sure some of you ain't heard it. And if some of you, if you have heard it, you done forgot it. Somebody say amen. My neighbor said, I don't have dementia. I just can't remember nothing. I was in a prison. I was trying to... See, in prison, the guys are really bad to make big difference in sin. I mean, if you killed a police officer, you're kind of a cool dude. You know what I mean? But if you hurt a young'un or mistreated a young'un or abused a young'un, you're not a cool dude. Amen. If they find it out, you might be a dead dude. But they make huge differences. And so I was preaching to them about sin. And God let me take a big old chalkboard. I believe it was about 4 foot this way and about 8 foot that way. Big old chalkboard they had in the prison. And I wrote every sin I could find in that Bible. I wrote adultery. I wrote lying. I wrote fornication. I wrote stealing. I wrote over there, these six things doth the Lord God hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. I wrote proud look. A lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood. I'm telling you, I just wrote, and I filled it up. I mean filled her up, brother, with sin, not repeating anything either that God said in that book. What God said, sin, still sin. And I filled that board up. And I told them, I got to preaching to men. I said, how many of you men are guilty of some of this? You know, kind of get sheepish. I said, men, look at me. I said, now this is me included. I said, none of us are guilty of some of this. I said, all of us are guilty of all of this. You say, Pastor, well, how in the world can you say that? Because if a man offends in one point of the law, he's guilty of the whole law. When a man gets saved, needs to repent, beloved, he ain't popping his chewing gum and just thinking about some little lie that he told. The Spirit of God will throw the book at him. Amen. And he'll understand he's dirty and he's guilty before a God that's holy. Then I got to preaching on the blood of Jesus. And I had me two erasers. And I got to preaching on the blood of Jesus. And I said, watch this, fellas. And I went across that board. It took me a while. I erased all that sin. And I said, now, I got a job for some of you. I said, I want you to come up here and take all that sin out of these erasers and put it back on that board just like it was. It couldn't nobody do it, brother. And I got happy. I got happy, and I didn't plan on this part. I planned on all that in my mind. I knew that was part of the sermon. I got happy, and I clapped those erasers together like that. They was a big old cloud, Brother Mike, come out of them erasers. And there was an air current in that chapel. It was a big old chapel, about 300 men. And that air went that thing, that big old cloud just went over. I said, glory to God, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen! You say, Pastor, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, beloved, listen, there was not just one cloud, but I saw what happened. I clapped them again. Amen! And God took away our sin. Amen! A friend knows his place. Behold the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. Number two, a friend knows his purpose. Look in verse number 6, John chapter 1. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Do you know what a blessing it is tonight? Now listen to me. That man right there, Brother McConnell, he hey, he's about to get happy on me tonight. But you know what a blessing it is to be able to stand here tonight and know that God sent me here. That's a blessing, brother. Listen, you say, Pastor, you were bragging. No, that'll be the way you feel. God sent me here. Amen. That ought to be the way you feel about your church. Amen. About your wife. God sent her to me. Say amen. I ain't got sense enough to find somebody that beautiful. Amen. God sent her to me. God gave her to me. Now watch this. I believe with all of my heart there was a man sent from God whose name was John. What's that next verse say, brother? Start me on it. It's John chapter 1, verse... let me see it here. John chapter 1, verse 7. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of that light. The Bible said he was not that light. He knew his purpose, but was sent to bear witness of that light. I can tell you this man right here, listen, he might not be a wintertime guy, but I know enough about his heart already to know this. There's a different reason he's looking forward to spring. We're going to go bear witness. We're not the light. Bible Way Baptist Church ain't the light. But thank God Almighty we know the light. And we're going to go bear witness of that light. This was the true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's why I'm not a Calvinist tonight. I'll just go ahead and tell you, say amen. I don't believe God picked out a few for heaven and said, no, sir, I believe he so loved the world. I believe, listen, it's not his will that any should perish. I believe what the Bible said in the book of Timothy, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. I believe that tonight. He knew his purpose in life. He knew he wasn't that light, but he knew he was sent to bear witness of that light. And then he knew God's presence in his life. A person that's a friend of God will know God's presence. You say, Pastor, where did you get that? Back over to our text in chapter number 3. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, and but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. He said, this my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. I didn't realize this till I looked it up last night. But in Psalm, I didn't realize the address. In Psalm 16:11, you can remember that pretty easy, can't you? Listen to what the Bible said. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, some of you praying about what verse to memorize. If you'll just be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I believe verses like that right there be a good one to grab, don't you? A good one to hide, amen. Thou wilt show me the path of life. You see, John knew the path of life. John knew about it walking in his presence. He knew about the fullness of joy, and he knew what a pleasure it was. He must increase, but I must decrease. People need faith. That's a good reason for him to increase and me to decrease. The position, my position as a friend, is a good reason for him to increase and me to decrease. And I'll give you this tonight and I'm done. Excuse me, Miss Eve, I'm finished. The third thing tonight in the message, it's because he must increase and I must decrease, because in this text there's a picture of the future. You say, Pastor, where do you see the future? Look with me, if you will, at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. If you've believed on him tonight, you've been born again, you've trusted Jesus, it's not you will have someday out there, but you have everlasting life. I'm trying to think of a verse. It's in 1 John chapter 5. These things are written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have, not will have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the only begotten Son of God. We have a wonderful, Brother Jason mentioned it a while ago, church's not going down, honey, the church's going up. We've got a future. I don't mean this as a pun, but it's true, that's out of this world. Amen. We have a future that's out of this world. Tonight, we walk with Him by faith. One day, we'll walk in His very presence. Talk to Him. I don't know about you, but the best I've ever done worshiping, I feel like I'm way short of what I desire in my heart and in my life. I feel like He's worthy of so much more. Well, one day, Brother Junior, I'm going to have a new body. One day there'll be no more hindrances. There'll be nothing crossed through my mind. There'll be nothing jerked up out of my past to hinder my worship of the King of Kings. Brother Dale, you talk about a choir. Can you imagine when they light up the song of the redeemed? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and riches. And I believe it's true. The angels have not been redeemed. I believe they'll have to step back while the Church of the Living God sings the song of the redeemed to the Lord. He must increase and I must decrease, because I see this picture of the future. Not only the future of the saints, but this actually does more in my heart. Everybody's different. But I see the future of the sinner. He that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Your loved ones and my loved ones that leave this world without Jesus, they're not going to know the joys of heaven. The wrath of God is going to abide on them. Personally, I believe that's why God will have to wipe all tears from our eyes. One thing we're going to know that day, we're going to know just how holy, just how righteous, and just how right God is in His judgment. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.